I send warm greetings to each and every one of you worshiping here in the sanctuary. We have few people joining us worship, in person worship. And to each and everyone who is sitting comfortably in your dining room, in your living room, wherever we are, God's Spirit is working within us, and He reaches unto us and touches us like no one can. So I pray that our worshiping together this morning will be an empowerment experience for all of us. We have the charge conference going on, scheduled this evening, SPLC at 6 o'clock and the charge conference at 7 o'clock, so please pray for the conference. Three men were sentenced to 25 years solitary confinement. As a concession, the prison governor allowed each to take one item into his cell. The first asked for a pile of books, the second asked for his wife, and the third asked for 200 cartons of cigarettes. At the end of the 25 years, the first prisoner was released and said, "Those books provided proved invaluable. I've studied so hard. Now I can train to be a lawyer. I am really happy." The second man stepped out of his cell with his wife and five new children. He enthused, "My wife and I have never been so close. I have a beautiful new family. I am so happy." The third guy said, "Anybody got a match?" Suppose that you are the guy who took 200 cartons of cigarette into the prison cell and could not light a single cigarette for 25 years. How desperately would he have needed the lighter? The world today is stricken by a dark force and is desperately looking for a light. The world sees the second and third waves of pandemic. Racial and religious tensions are increasingly heightened. In this postmodern day and age, many nations are still suffering from totalitarian governments. Dark forces in the world seems to be prevalent and depress many hearts. Regardless how dark the world may seem, the good news is that the light of God shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot stand the light of God. The Bible indisputably speaks of God's nature as light. An excellent illustration for it is the first thing that God created. God created light because it is God's nature. God created a light, and accordingly, the first words God spoke in the entire Bible was, "Let there be light." In the original Hebrew, this phrase is Yehi, or is light, and Yehi is let there be. The word Yehi, let there be, is the root word for God's name Yahweh. Isn't that interesting? Or it can be understood that Yehi is taken from the word Yahweh. Who could speak such a word as let there be unless the one was the creator? God only could. Accordingly, the words "let there be" reveals that God is the creator. So "let there be" not only is came out of the name Yahweh, but also indicates that God is the creator. The fact that God created light first shows, of course, that he is light. There are numerous references in the scripture that agree with this description of God's nature as light. Let me give you several familiar events that helps us understand it. Moses went up to Mount Sinai for the second set of the Ten Commandments. He stayed there for 40 days and communed with God. When he came down from the mount, his face was so radiant that people could not look at his face, that he had to put a veil on his face. What happened to his face? Having spent time with God, who is light, made his face radiant. At the beginning of Jesus' public ministry, Jesus did not want people to recognize him as the Messiah yet. But from the moment when Peter confessed and disclosed that Jesus was the Son of God and the Messiah, Jesus began to unveil openly that he was the Messiah. And Peter's confession was followed by Jesus' transfiguration, with which Jesus openly, physically showed that he was the Messiah. Jesus took his three beloved disciples to a high mountain where he was transfigured before them. And the gospel said, his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. This physical transfiguration plainly showed his identity as light and confirmed that God and the Son share the same nature. Saul was a passionate Jew who persecuted Christians. He was going to Damascus to put Christians there into prison. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" Jesus appeared to Saul as light. It was why John's gospel repeated the description of Jesus as the light, testifying he is the light of all mankind, the true light that gives light to everyone. In John 12, Jesus himself said that he was the light. He was light. "I have come into the world as a light so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness." God is a consuming fire, according to Hebrews 12. From fire, light comes. So fire and light are the identical entity. John the Baptist spoke of Jesus and said, "I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me comes one who will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." Here we see the identical nature of Jesus and the Holy Spirit as fire. And of course, the same nature goes to God the Father and the Son, Jesus and the Holy Spirit. So this is my favorite part. The first words that God spoke in Genesis, "let there be light," they are the messianic words. "Let there be." In it, it includes that God is the creator, God's name, and then God's nature, the light. And the nature that Jesus identified himself. Now, this light and fire of Jesus dwells within the hearts of believers by the Holy Spirit. John Wesley's conversion is one great example for this. After John returned from his missionary work for American Indians in Georgia, he felt like a failure. John Wesley wrote of his experience in Georgia, "I went to America to convert the Indians, but oh, who shall convert me?" He was suffering from a spiritual depression. He did not have faith. He was pondering about whether or not he should continue preaching. Leave up preaching. How can you preach to others who have not faith yourself? John asked Bowler. Wednesday, May 10th, 1738, John Wesley, in his diary, said, "I was sorrowful and very heavy in spirit." That's exactly 2 weeks before his conversion experience. John was in darkness until the very day of his historic turning point, Wednesday, May 24th, 1738. He wrote he had a strange indifference, dullness and coldness, and unusually frequent relapses into sin. John went to a Moravian Bible study in London that night with a kind of spiritual heaviness. However, his darkness went away by the fire of the Holy Spirit. He said shortly before nine that evening, he felt his heart strangely warmed, which changed everything. The light and the fire of God came to dwell in the heart of John and cast out the spiritual darkness from him. The fire of Jesus transformed not only John and his brother Charles, but also the entire world. And look at the Methodist churches that covers the whole face of the earth. The light that shone to Moses came to Saul, and then to John Wesley, and to everyone who believe in Jesus. That light now dwells in our heart. 2 Corinthians 4, Paul said, "God, who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ." Now the problem is, as John chapter 1 says, he was in the world, though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. People today may not recognize the light of Jesus because of darkness seems to have covered the world. Whatever the world may think, the light of Jesus is in the world today, and our hearts can testify the truth. The current situation may seem dark and gloomy, and how could we tell that the indwelling light of Jesus is in our hearts? Well, simply by looking within our hearts. There is a rampant force of darkness out in the world, but we still have a positive perspective and have hope. We feel comfort and peace in our heart. Those prove that we have God's light within our soul. I went underwent spiritually and emotionally dark days when I was struggling with my calling in the 1970s. A pop song came out during those days, and the song touched my heart, and the song was "You Light Up My Life," sung by Debbie Boone, one of the daughters of Pep Boone, who is a devout Christian and raised his four daughters in the faith. The song described rather accurately my emotional and spiritual condition and spoke to me that God's light was shining at me, casting out darkness away. This song may not be regarded as a gospel song, but to me it spoke how God was present in my life as light. So at this time, I would like us to listen to the song.
So many nights I'd sit by my window waiting for someone to sing me his song. So many dreams I kept deep inside me alone dark, but now you've come along, and you light up my life, you give me hope to carry on, you light up my days, and feel
thank you for that technical support, Deb. Mm-hmm. I appreciate that. Let us not be discouraged, therefore, nor be depressed by the dark force in the world. The light of God is shining, casting out darkness from us. Let us walk in the light and continue to have fellowship with Jesus. Then as children of light, we can even shine the light of Jesus to the world. Amen.